Strap yourself in because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Yes, sir. Reading you loud and clear. Clear. The clock has started.
Five, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This week's episode of our podcast. Today we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Welcome to this week's Smallest Cast Podcast. This podcast is designed for small government contractors, service providers, and manufacturers, part of the government contractor ecosystem, connecting people, organizations, and resources. I'm your host, Can't Talk Nate.
Speedy Nate. Slow down, maybe.
I don't know. It's one of those days. this week, hey, we've got DK in the office back finally.
It's not just the Just Nate podcast anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Like the last 3 weeks in a row, it's been Just Nate. And so that means two different things, Just Nate and Just Nate. So Dennis, on the line today, and I don't mean to point down here, I'm pointing up here. We have the vice president of marketing. And he goes by many, many different names. Ron being one of his main names, Burgundy. but really, it's Sam Stiles. He is the VP of marketing of Summit 7. Welcome, Sam.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
So, yeah. So it's, I guess I heard through the grapevine, you and Dennis were on a video chat or a video podcast before.
So we were in San Diego for the Navy Gold Coast Conference a couple months back. And we'll talk a little bit to Sam here about what he does, but they were doing a podcast with folks as they were walking by.
And, oh, so like we do.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
how did I get you to come by? Was it the free Yeti or did
yes.
I yell at you?
What, hey, coffee mug.
Is that your white one?
Yeah.
I didn't get a white Yeti.
Oh, yeah, okay.
What the hell?
I do things for coffee mugs.
He does a lot less.
I still use it, too. I just was drinking out of it yesterday.
I was going to ask you where you got that one from.
From Sam.
And why isn't there a small sticker on it yet?
Because I don't want to put a sticker on it. It's pristine. It's pristine.
It's Summit.
It is.
White, isn't it?
Is it Summit White? So, Sam, so let's talk about Summit 7 real quick. We got a lot to talk about. So let's start with Summit 7. And tell us a little bit about Summit 7.
Totally. Well, thanks for the intro. Again, you know, you mentioned Ron Burgundy's one of my names, but if you've ever come to my house, there's many leathern bound books and it smells of rich mahogany. it's just the way it goes. So he didn't say legal name. So I said Ron Burgundy, but no, I appreciate it. It's good to see you again, Dennis and Nate. Thanks for having me. So Summit 7 was started in 2011, 2012 as a SharePoint consulting organization. So we did like SharePoint training. Our co-founders were at NASA together and they were doing like information architecture back when SharePoint was blowing up. And if you know anything about SharePoint, it took a downturn. And so as SharePoint took a downturn, Summit 7 shifted in 2016, 2017, as the DFARS clauses, some of the cyber clauses started coming out. We actually shifted the entire business to only focus on NIST 800-171, DFARS, and all the likes of that. And so we've been doing security and compliance specifically for small, medium defense contractors for about 8 years consistently. And then Summit 7's been around for almost 14, 15. And so currently we're focused on helping people meet CMMC levels 1, 2, and 3. And we actually just released our CMMC level 1 solution set, which is primarily focused on small businesses. And a lot of that's technical, but basically if you have federal contract information, you're obviously subject to certain cyber requirements. And that's what we do. So all built on the Microsoft stack. Don't have anything against Google. We just build everything on Microsoft and we eat our own dog food, if you will, and build everything in our own infrastructure in the government cloud of Microsoft. So we serve about, I think we just broke 700 contractors and majority of those are small to medium. But we actually have 7 of the top 10 primes in the U.S. as customers as well. So it runs a gamut as far as a customer base.
Nice. Okay.
Well, let me start back a little bit. What is Summit 7 significant? What's, does that have a significance to it? Where'd they get the name from?
You know, I've been asked that many, many times, and my answers always change. So,
okay.
No, I know it has significance, but I don't know what it is. You know, it was, it was between Summit 7 and Black Diamond, and Summit 7 sounded a lot better. And we actually rebranded like maybe 2017 or so, and that was a good rebrand.
So I was just, up at Summit 8, Peak 8 over in Breckenridge. So I'm wondering if they're, skiers.
They probably got sued using Black Diamond.
That's
a huge company name.
Yeah, it's also skiing. So I'm guessing these are skiing references.
Well, I thought you said they're from California.
Alabama. Beach? Alabama.
What kind of skiing you got in Alabama?
Alabama.
There's some hills there.
Not many. It usually has to do with college football.
That's right.
Have one in Mentone, Alabama. Hey, Mentone, Alabama, they make their own snow, and it's basically ice. It's not real snow.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of camo and a lot of flannel, and people are just flying down the hills. So it's a good time.
And homemade skis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's you know, they chisel them out of maple trees. But it's one hill, and it might be like a blue, and you just ski straight down. And when you get to the bottom, the fake snow machine is really loud, and that's about all we got.
And yeah.
Okay. My kids learn how to ski in Missouri on the same.
I bet the camo is real camo, too. It's probably like real tree camo and not digital camo.
Oh, it's real tree. People can hunt and ski at the same time.
Hey, okay, so let's.
makes it a little more competitive.
So let's talk what you were doing down there at the Navy Gold Coast. So you were recording and you were asking folks about, and we're going to post this, by the way, so everybody can kind of see some of the activities that Summit 7 does and kind of the promotions they do with regards to CMMC. But what were you guys doing down there, Sam? I think you were recording, like asking folks about CMMC, correct?
We were, yeah. So Dennis, you know this, but majority of the people that attend that show are small contractors. A lot of them were obviously work for the Navy Gold Coast. You know, I had a lot of conversations with people about, hey, tell me what your business does. And, you know, multiple people, upwards of 10 to 20 conversations. Hey, we have less than 20 employees. We have less than 40 employees. We make the diagrams that shoots lasers at the Navy ship, and they're our customer. And we were asking, hey, what are you doing about CMMC? And you know, we could probably talk about this for well over 45 minutes. But the three of us on this call probably know that there are some mixed emotions about CMMC, whether people should do something or not do something or whatever, and the DoD has continued to delay stuff. Mm-hmm. So we were trying to get just an idea of what the small contractors in the defense industrial base were actually doing or not doing in regards to CMMC. So that podcast clip that Dennis mentioned was a combination of multiple conversations of pulling people off the floor and saying, hey, can you talk to us about what you are or not doing about CMMC, just to kind of get a general idea of what the industry was doing. And it was interesting. We'll say that.
Well, so I wanted to circle back with that because I was just on a call with the Air Force and their program they got going on. And she did a quick poll, you know, with, I think there was like 210 people attending the webinar, and they did a quick poll, like, how many of you are doing something with regards to becoming CMMC compliant? And like 76% were not doing anything. And then how many of you need, you know, help? And almost all of them said, we need help. So I think
that's odd. When I've talked with people, they all say, we've got it. We have our own IT guy. He's going to do it.
Yeah,
he's going to do it. She's going to do it.
I think that's changing somewhat now, that it's not just your IT guy.
It changes after a year of them trying and then fail.
Yeah.
And then they need somebody. Like,
well, I feel really bad for that solo IT guy.
Yeah. Well, and
they're not going to be there much longer.
And I think that I think people are coming to the realization that they need to be compliant. Part of the problem, though, is, you know, everybody's afraid of cost, and then they're, well, we'll wait until we're bigger. And my advice to most of the small companies, like you mentioned, you know, of 20 people or so, even larger than that, is don't wait. Get it all set up now, because if you wait till you're 400, 500 people, then it's really going to cost money. So you want to kind of...
And, you know, the sorry to cut you off there. No, I was just going to say on that note of waiting, what's interesting is people are saying, well, we're going to wait till rulemaking comes out. Mm-hmm. The problem is, as soon as rulemaking comes out, if you decide to go talk to someone like a Summit 7, doesn't have to be us, they're going to turn around and say, our backlog is literally 16 months. Yeah. So you're going to lose contracts for the next year and a half.
Yep.
And we actually we did a webinar recently called the 7 Steps to CMMC. And it was actually a timeline. So it was a walkthrough. And we did step by step. How long is it going to take you to do XYZ? So, for example, step one was, how long is it going to take your company to identify what level of CMMC you need to be? And so we literally walked through the process of, this is how you find it in your contract. This is how you scope your assets. This is what has CUI on it. And once you get there, then you're going to talk about, how do we implement the things to get there? And then step 7 was basically complete your CMMC assessment. So have your SSP ready, your documentation, all those things. And we actually showed a current calendar and when CMMC is coming into rulemaking. And then we showed the timeline of how long the 7 steps that we identified took. And we did the webinar in the middle of October. And if... right now, CMMC is a little delayed. If CMMC goes into effect and contracts, it shows up in October of next year, people are already behind on doing what they need to do from an implementation schedule. And we're a year away. So like, just the implementation part of it is a 16-week process. And people are like, I'm just going to wait. And many of the people I talked to at that conference, they say, oh, well, I'll just roll up under Lockheed. I'll just roll up under Raytheon and they'll get me covered. And I'm like, That's not how it works, because they're going to turn to you and say, no, you're supposed to be compliant because you're my sub.
You have to float everything down. It's going to be a bad
day. Yeah.
Bad day.
Now, I want to go back to your conversation, though. The price. That's you and I have been talking CMMC for years.
Yeah.
And that's a huge issue for a small business, right? Let's just say I've got a 20-person business. I don't know. What's it going to cost me to average cost of a 20-person business to do CMMC? $100,000, $200,000, that's a whole person for that small business, right? So that's what they're trying to weigh out. Do I just hire a guy?
But you're going to have to rob Peter to pay Paul, because that's the saying, right? I screw them all up. But so you got to pay it up front, because you're, again, okay, you don't do that, and you're going to run into this wall here where you can't even bid. Or we're already getting, when we subcontract to contracts already, you see it sometimes going, where are you at least CMMC, you know, level one compliant right now? You know, they're throwing that out there, compliance yet, but yeah, people are throwing it out there.
Well, that's because people are still trying to go under 800, 971.
Yeah.
800, 171.
Yeah.
That it doesn't.
I think the big deal is, yes, you're going to, it's going to cost you, but it's going to cost you a lot less now than it's going to cost you later.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Sam, but it was before the whole CMMC 2.0 thing came out. The government was going to pay not for the first time to get certified, but for maintenance of your certification. Is that still the case?
Ooh, I don't know that was the case in 1.0. I can't speak to if it is now. But what's interesting about, you said something about 171. What's interesting is when CMMC 1.0 came out, which I think the first official draft was January of 2020.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So they come out and say, DoD says, hey, this is what you got to do. Mm-hmm. It was NIST 800-171, which was 110 controls.
Yep.
Then they layered 20 controls on top of it, mm-hmm. which were, or they were referred to as the Delta 20. And so what they were saying is, oh, well, since everybody was doing, everybody's already doing NIST 800-171, which is in DFAR 7012, and you, KO, have been signing off saying they've been doing it, it shouldn't cost you that much. You're only doing 20 more controls. And everybody's like, it's too expensive. And so then with 2.0, they literally chopped the Delta 20 and said, okay, here's 2.0 level 2. And you know what that was? NIST 800-171.
Yep. Yeah.
Nothing has changed.
Yep. Although,
it's too much.
Other than you're not allowed to have a POAM, right?
Well, you need a POAM.
Correct.
You just can't keep pushing it.
Right. But even if the POAM, you have to show that you're mitigating the POAM, and there's those 5-point controls. And most of those are 171. But when contractors turn around and say, DOD, it's too expensive, these are new requirements, the DOD turns back and says, well, you attested that you've been doing this for 5 years. So what's new about it? And it's just this, it's the finger pointing meme where they're just pointing back and forth. Right.
So at the cybersecurity summit, here in Colorado Springs, which is coming up next February, in 2020, they had Katie Arrington here, who at the time was leading CMMC. And that was her big gripe. She's like, look, contractors, you guys have been telling us for years now that you're doing this. This should be an easy flip. But, you know, the reality is no one was doing it.
Well, I think they were. They were doing 800-171 with a 30-page POAM.
No, they weren't. They were developing a POAM, but there was no one holding them accountable
They weren't executing the POAM.
Yeah.
But they had it.
Well, they had a plan.
The thing that exposed that, you know. Yeah. So, are you guys familiar with Bob Metzger?
No.
No.
Is that one of your downrange names?
No. This is a real person. So Bob Metzger, he helped write MITRE's report, Deliver Uncompromised. And it was an assessment on the defense industrial base and their status of doing 171 and basically attesting to DFAR 7012. The results were so bad that the DOD literally turned around and said, okay, we got to change something. And, you know, you could say, oh, that's why CMMC was born. I think it had a lot to do with it. But it was basically a report that said, here's what they're doing. I mean, he did his own Gartner report on the DIB, and people got exposed. It was bad.
I think it's that. And then there was all the, you know, if you see the Chinese kind of their new vehicle or their new jet or their new boat or whatever it is. Boy, that looks awfully familiar.
Looks just like ours.
Oh, you mean like that? The latest news. We're waiting for their latest rocket body to land someplace on Earth that they literally sent up 3 days ago, and right now we're waiting for it to
come down,
but they don't know where it's going to come down.
Oh, that's
Earth,
sweet.
Land, sea.
We better go underground for a bit.
Yeah. I bet you they got the schematics off a Windows PC that's running XP on the machine floor.
Windows me?
We see some stuff. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Hey, there's been a couple conversations where between, you know, me and our some of our salespeople, we've literally had people in tears on the phone say, how am I going to do this? And it's awful. Well, we're basically having to counsel people.
It's, you know, I've been working DOD programs my entire career, and it's no joke though. The finger pointing thing that you guys are talking about, I've ran across it as well. When the government's like, hey, you need to be, you know, you have to get your ATO, right? Your RMF packages, DIACAP packages, whatever it may have been. You need to upgrade your operating system. Okay, great. But you know that operating system that we're developing this on is an IBM mainframe, right? So if I upgrade the operating system, I now need, you know, $200 million to upgrade the mainframe. And they're like, well, we don't have the money for that. Which one is it?
There is some of that. But I would say 80 to 90% of things are not that issue. I think that there's just companies really becoming compliant and actually focusing on becoming CMMC certified compliant.
That's my next question for Sam. So you guys have to be careful what you guys can actually do, right, as Summit 7. You can't do the whole 9 years. You can't do pen testing. You can't do the accreditation package and then turn around and help a bless saying, yeah, you're ready to go, right? Because you have conflicts. What about hardware side? You go into a 10-person company. Most of those companies, they're using a Comtech modem, right? Or a Xfinity modem or whatever, a Nighthawk. Something that they picked up Best Buy for $200. Do you guys have a product line as well that helps get that small office hardware compliant? That's part of CMMC?
So to answer that, yeah, that's a great question. So Summit 7 is focused solely on cloud. Now, when I say that, I don't mean we won't support servers, but our entire goal is to get you to move from your on-prem servers and legacy systems into the cloud, because we can manage that. And we have the relationship with Microsoft and the government team to be able to say, your data resides in this data center. It's ITAR compliant. We put you in GCC High, which is government community cloud high, which is right under Microsoft DoD. And we say, hey, if you let us migrate your information into the cloud, we'll do that for you. Now, on the hardware side, we don't sell specific products or hardware. When we go in to help do like a gap assessment, we actually bring in a team to help you scope every asset in your environment. And so we'll sit there and help you classify it, scope it. Is it CUI? Is it a CRMA? XYZ. But all of our management is actually done remotely. And we have an MSP and an MSSP in-house that all of our managed services are actually remote. So majority of our clients are in DC, LA, things like that. And in a lot of small businesses, they want their MSP and their support to be on site because they think, well, if they can come in and help me do XYZ, it's better.
Right.
But obviously with remote work, that is just, it's so different now. And we've shifted our business model to accompany
that. It is, but how do you, remote workers, how do you stop them from going to Starbucks and using Starbucks Wi-Fi? Right? I mean, that's hardware that you can't touch. That
it's a challenge.
It's part of CMMC.
We basically say, let us put everything into this compliant infrastructure or an enclave. We'll build you out an enclave.
Yeah.
And sometimes we do what's called swivel seats, where literally you're in a commercial tenant and you turn over here and you log into a government tenant and access stuff. Sometimes that's the answer. With a lot of smaller companies, it's easier just to take everything and put it into a compliant boundary and say, you're good. Part of CMMC, one of the requirements is actually awareness and training. And so they're required to put their employees through actual training. And so like Summit 7 employees, our whole company is subject to do know before training and phishing training. And I mean, you name it, we've got to do it. And that's actually a requirement in CMMC. So yes, we can't put mustard on a hot dog and say, that's a really good looking hot dog. You're good to go. But we obviously build strategic partners to who we trust to make that happen, because there's a very small group of companies in the ecosystem that are doing it the right way. There's a very large group of companies who are saying, we'll get you compliant in 30 days.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yep.
And, it's not good.
Well, I like it that they can guarantee CMMC certification too. And I'm like, it's not even a certification yet.
Yeah,
it's not.
Nobody can guarantee that right now. And if you
but
can,
it's out there. There's lots of companies that say they do it. Yeah.
So, okay.
You know,
all right.
You know what?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say one more thing. What's interesting is the DoD has said, if you go to one of those one-stop shop, get compliant 30-day companies, and you turn around and fail your assessment, you get reimbursed $0. You lose all that money. So
there is a reimbursement.
No. You don't get reimbursed at all.
No.
No reimbursement. There's no cost allowability.
Yeah. So it was when they first were coming out, CMMC1, they were going to let you, for your first proposal, I think, or whatever it was, you were going to be able to write some of that becoming compliant.
It was afterwards. So the first, to get compliant, it was all on the company.
Yeah.
But then if you had a cost associated with that, maintaining it, you could bill that back to the government. Now, obviously, every single person, every single company is going to bill this back to the government in some way, form, or fashion. Yeah. Probably in their overhead, whatever.
Yeah.
Their wrap rates will go up or whatever. But it can't be a separate line item, right?
Right.
But, hey, on that note real quick, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more Summit 7.
Let's do it.
Business owners, looking for out-of-the-box solutions? Five Star Bank's Business Solutions Group is here to help you with all your financing needs. When you need a creative, innovative approach that goes beyond traditional solutions, think of Five Star Bank. We care about the growth of our local business community. With offices in Colorado Springs, Denver, and Trinidad, Five Star Bank is easy to find. Visit fivestar.bank to connect with us today. That's the number 5, STAR.bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Welcome back to this week's Smallest Cast podcast. This week we have Summit 7. We have
Sam Stiles.
Sam.
Harry's Stiles. Brother. Harry's brother.
I keep seeing
Robert. You don't even know who Harry Styles is, do you?
Isn't he the guy with the Harry shavers? Harry's razors?
No.
I don't know.
Yes.
Hey, by the way, it's No Shave
Sam.
November.
Thanks, Sam.
How come you shaved?
I guess I keep on forgetting. I was in the shower this morning, and I was like, oh, crud.
Yeah.
We got to look like Sam.
A day and a half right there, Sam?
This is like 2 months.
So what you're telling me is you're that redneck, it doesn't grows that way.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I didn't start growing facial hair until I was in my late 20s, so got to ride it as long as I can.
Have you seen some of those high school boys? What are they putting in this?
It's called
the water.
Yeah, it's in the food.
I don't know what it is, but I'm like, dude, you look like you're in your 40s.
It's all that milk they're drinking, all those hormones.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, Sam, so let's talk a little bit. You brought up a really good point here, about yourself. I did want to ask, so you talk a lot of tech, but you're in marketing, you said earlier. So how did you get there? How'd you get to what you're doing today?
Yeah. So originally, my goal was to go into sales and to do like consulting sales. Mm-hmm. I moved to Nashville. So I graduated from Auburn University with a marketing degree, actually. And I moved to Nashville. And after about 6 months, I was like, this is not for me. I had a quota to make 100 cold calls a day. And I hit my quota and I got cussed out probably 80 times a day.
Up on telemarketing.
It was rough, but it laid the foundation for me to really say there's got to be a better way. Like, this can't be the only way to do it.
Yeah.
And so I left Nashville, moved back to Huntsville, Alabama, started working at a technology company. We did like internet protocol and like phone systems. Mm-hmm. And we did what's called inbound marketing. And so you create content, you build a giant funnel, an inbound funnel. And when the lead gets to the bottom of the funnel, they talk to the salesperson and they're already ready to make a decision. And so nobody's cold calling. You're creating content, putting it on the internet, and then people are filling out forms. And I was like, this is the way. This is the way to do it. Mm-hmm. This is not cold calling.
Do you recommend a good book on that? Inbound marketing?
There's a book that's not specifically on inbound marketing, but there's a book about building a brand, and it's called Story Brand. And it'll help you shape your brand to tell a story in a compelling way, because people want to get on board with something that is bigger than themselves, even prospects and customers. Mm-hmm. They don't want to see that, oh, you do good work. They want to see that, oh, you have a great mission and you have the people to fulfill that mission.
And what does the future look like? What can I be part of? Everybody wants to be part of something now.
For sure. Yeah. So I read a lot of Patrick Lencioni. I read a lot of Jocko Willink, a lot of ownership books. But Patrick Lencioni has what's called 5 Dysfunctions of a Team. It's more executive leadership, but I actually started taking to it when I first started out and applying a lot of those principles. And, you know, at Summit 7, we are built on content marketing. And so I learned inbound marketing, inbound strategy at that first job I have. And so I've been in marketing at this point, going on 8 years, and I've been at Summit 7. It'll be 3 years here next month. And so, when I came to Summit 7, there was one marketing person, and he was the marketing coordinator, and he was using inbound marketing software. We use HubSpot. It's not proprietary. You know, you got right. HubSpot, Marketo, Salesforce, all the softwares that do the same stuff. And, I came on board and we had 2 interns and him, and he said, I'll go build half the team and you go build half the team and let's make cool stuff. And, we just took off. And so, now we've got 9 people that work for me and then 3 that create content. So really we're looking at 13, 14 actual, content creators. And some of the team is sales and they equip our sales team, but most of them, we make videos and blogs and we do webinars and we go to trade shows and record podcasts. And
so real quick,
but this, and it's a CMMC cyber compliant company with 9 guys.
No, the question I've got for those companies out there listening to this podcast or this video cast, whatever you want to call it. What I'd be thinking is, well, where do I have the budget for that? I have to put aside a budget. That is like the number one thing that I see most companies. I worked for Honeywell for 15 years. They didn't market worth a crap. I mean, they're a billion-dollar organization, and they wouldn't even pay to have a sign put up in downtown. I'm like, why aren't you marketing? People don't even know that you are here in the community, and you have 700 employees in the community, but you don't market. Nobody knows it. So how do you get a C-suite person to understand that you probably need to have somewhat of a budget? Maybe that comes from, maybe it's 10% of your budget from BD. I don't know. I don't know where that comes from.
Results. Okay. You have to, the lie in marketing is you can't quantify stuff. Mm-hmm. The only way that I do things is by analyzing data and then saying, okay, we're going to do this because that data looks good. Mm-hmm. People think that, oh, well, it's just a blog. It's just a video. It's just a whatever. You can't report on that. That's not true. There's so many tools out there, HubSpot being one of them, Google Analytics, anything, where if you can tell a story, like I mentioned, on why something was successful, turn around and pitch that to your executive team and say, hey, based off the data, we did XYZ. If you allow me to put, you know, resources towards XYZ, I believe I can give you a return of X. Now, can you attribute every dollar to brand awareness? No, not at all. But can you attribute data to what people are doing via a marketing funnel? Yes, if you set it up the right way. And we don't do anything unless we have the data to prove it, unless it's like a local PR event where it's like, we got to be there. It's a local thing in Huntsville. Sure. We go to that, right? Like you're always going to have that side of marketing. But because of my background on the inbound technology side, it forced me to look at, hey, how do we lead score? How do we classify someone as a marketing lead or a sales lead? What kind of content are people looking for? And, you know, I'll give props to Scott Edwards, who's our CEO. Number one, he has always understood that marketing is important and we've reaped the benefits of that. And so I really appreciate him for that. Cause he knows without a strong brand, you can't really do much. And I can't tell you the number of people that work at Summit 7 that have said, I specifically came to Summit 7 because of the brand, because of the marketing, which is huge. So like, not only is it a recruitment tool, but at the same time, it makes you feel good. And so going back to our CEO, Scott, he has invested in our team, but more than that, we really try to bring the culture of Summit 7 into our content. And when you pick a lane, especially in a cybersecurity company, and you say, we're only going to do CMMC, NIST 800 171, and we're only going to do it in the Microsoft cloud, you start to get really, really sharp because you're sharpening one pencil instead of kind of sharpening 10 pencils, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So can I ask how big Summit 7 is right now? How big are you guys, those size by people?
How big do you think we are just based off your interactions with us?
I think you're small. I think you're
okay.
Less than 40.
20.
Okay. Okay. So current November 3rd, we have 124 employees.
Okay. Yeah.
So still small. Yeah.
Well, it's growing though. It's getting bigger. I think you only had 10 last time we talked. No, just kidding.
No, well, hey, and when I came on in 2019, we had 40, I think we had 46. Yeah, and so in a couple of years, we've grown pretty quickly.
And I think focusing on a product also and a product/service, I think that's helpful too. What I find a lot of companies, they try to go too wide, be all things to all people, and that doesn't necessarily work right. And you can find your niche and excel in that, and like you said, market that. I think that's a good way to go. And that's kind of word for the small government contractors out there. You know, that's, you know, find your niche.
I can tell you right now.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, so being in Huntsville, Alabama, there's a lot of DoD contractors. Mm-hmm. And the mistake that I've seen having friends in the marketing industry in Huntsville, in the DoD that work in marketing, they go to these contractors and they're like, I can't create effective content. And I'm like, why? And they're like, they come to me and say, all right, we're going to do these 40 things. And they're like, I need two things to actually like create content and just do that and continue to refine that. If you pick a focus and you run with that focus, and you really, really scrutinize what is the goal of this actual thing. People that work with me get so mad at me because they're like, we need to do a webinar on XYZ. And I'm like, okay, great. I think we should. What's the goal of this? And they go, I don't know.
Do leads? A webinar.
And I'm like, nope, not good enough. And they're like, well, what should the goal be? I'm like, you're the one who brought the idea up. So you have to scrutinize people.
Yeah.
That's 100%. Now, you mentioned DoD contractors. A lot of times they're not, right? They're not down to one or two things. No, and that's fine. I think what you can do, though, is to market, you have to market specific. Don't market wide. Don't market saying, we can do everything. Yeah. Just any, we're a DoD contractor. What the hell does that mean? Right? I mean, you mean you could take out trash or you could be building a satellite?
Well, or you could, you know, so if you make a campaign plan or something like that. That's where I think we're talking about here is what is your strategy, your marketing strategy? How does it relate to what you guys do? What's your campaign? And if you say we're going to do a webinar, we're going to do a webinar on each of our key core capabilities or core competencies, right? Yep. Again, to market what it is we do. But I think you have to think through that, what and why and how. And did he freeze? Are you still there? Oh, no, you moved.
No, I'm still here. Sorry, I was just listening.
So anyways, I think...
I'm going to fake freeze so we end.
So anyways, I think that's important for companies to think about too, how they do that. And so, so this has been really great, Sam. So how do people find out? You're putting out lots of content, sounds like. You got webinars. I actually want to go back and find some of these things here, like the 7 steps to CMMC. And you guys do these webinars and all. Where do people find that? How do they find out about Summit 7?
Yeah, so summit7.us is our homepage, and we actually have a resources page, which literally has a catalog of anything and everything we've ever created. So there's a resources tab, summit7.us/resources, and it literally has white papers, blogs, webinars, YouTube videos. Also, LinkedIn is our primary channel of social media. Because most of our audience is on LinkedIn, that's really where we focus. And so if you follow our LinkedIn or subscribe to YouTube, we're really, really focused on those two. We've invested a lot in our video and our creative team, because when you're talking about cybersecurity and compliance, you can put somebody to sleep like that.
Yeah.
And if you have compelling content that's also like okay to look at and isn't ugly, you're going to find that people are a lot more interested. And we have a really strong engagement rate on videos and webinars because we try to do motion graphics and keep people engaged. And I mean, the reality of cybersecurity and CMMC is it is boring. Like, this is not fun. Cyber regulations is not a fun topic. But if you can find a way to make fun of it and tell a story, people will listen all the time.
Sure.
You know?
So Summit 7, is it the number 7 or spelled out?
Number 7. Yep.
Number 7, okay.
Okay.
Got you that. Got it.
Yes, we'll post it.
And then I'm assuming it's Summit 7 on LinkedIn.
That's the one.
And yep. You're headquartered out of Huntsville?
Huntsville, Alabama, yeah. But we have employees in L.A. We actually have some in Colorado Springs. I need to get them linked up with you guys.
Heck yeah.
And then D.C. as well. So D.C., Huntsville, L.A.
You should send them to the CMMC event on next week. So November 10th, Thursday, November 10th from 5 to 7 p.m. at Catalyst Campus is CMMC and how it can support your small business.
I'm not saying
the title right, but... It's on. We send it out on our newsletter.
Hey, I mean, did I say we're co-hosting that?
www.thissmalls.org. It's on the calendar.
Yeah, on the calendar.
So, yeah.
So, do you guys help content marketing for other companies too? I mean, that's like a whole nother business level.
We don't. Yeah, we don't. What's been interesting about creating content in our industry is, you guys probably know this, but there's not a lot of Summit 7-ish type companies out there right now. And the ones that are out there, we're all kind of doing similar stuff. And when I say similar stuff, you can read between the lines. We will create something, and 10 days later, somebody else will come out with something that looks a whole lot like what we did.
Yeah.
And so one of our biggest challenges is trying to stay ahead of people. But we also know there's not enough Summit 7s in the dib to get everybody secure. So, like, we need the help. Like, there's enough pie for everybody. That's not
seriously
a problem.
Okay. I honestly think that I know maybe 3 or 4 that are identical.
Right.
And when I say identical, I mean companies that are trying to help with CMMC.
Literally,
you guys should need to talk. Like, CEOs need to talk to each other and say, hey, what is the realm possible for you guys? Well, and be honest, right? What's the realm? Can you take on 1,000 new companies next month? Obviously not, right?
Right.
You could grow to that, but nobody can get to that quick.
You mean a team of people to help do compliance?
Just start talking to each other and say, hey, let's share, right? Because like you said, there's not enough of Summit 7 companies
I can't remember what the number is for government DoD government contractors, isn't it? Or government contractors, isn't it something like 300,000 companies, something like that?
So 300, that's the DoD's estimate, is 300,000. So.
That's just DoD. Yeah, DoD. Yeah. Remember, CMMC is local, state, federal, DoD.
Well, no, CMMC is DoD.
It's DoD. However, it may go federal soon. Correct. So it could get a lot bigger. But even to that point, Summit 7 can't handle 300,000 contractors. That's not a reality.
No.
Like, it's just not possible. And, you know, the DoD's estimate is for level 2, which is the harder one, right? There's 80,000 customers, right? Or contractors. So you even talking about 80,000, getting them to level 2, I mean, that's absurd.
Yeah.
It's literally absurd.
Well, like you said, that's going to be a year or two each. And
Right. So So one other thing I wanted to share, I didn't get a chance to talk about, which Dennis, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but Summit 7 actually runs an event series.
I was going to ask you about that next. I was going to ask you about that next.
Yeah. So we have an event series called the Cloud Security and Compliance Series. So short name is CS2. So CS2 stands for Cloud Security and Compliance Series. We literally go around the U.S. to major contractor hubs. So think Denver, Seattle, Dallas, those types of places. And we'll actually put on a two-day event specifically for contractors trying to meet current cyber regulations. So our next one is actually in Huntsville. It's March 7th and 8th, 2023. But we provide 2 days of DoD thought leadership. So we'll have people come from OUSD, and then we'll actually have subject matter experts in the field come specifically talk about certain things. So like we have executive breakouts, which is for C-suite decision makers on CMMC. So talk about cost, things like that. And then we have technical tracks where we literally talk about how do you implement, you know, Microsoft government for your company? How do you, you know, use Microsoft Sentinel? So we'll get technical, but the point is that's a hybrid experience. And we started doing only in-person events, and Katie Arrington was actually one of our first speakers at the first one we had in 2020.
Yeah.
And she came in and just blew the doors off. It was awesome. She's very dynamic. And we were like, hey, I think we're onto something here. Well, COVID hit in 2020 and we're like, we got to shift. What do we do? So we literally were like, let's just do virtual ones. And so we did 4 virtual ones, and that kind of built the brand and the stigma of, hey, When you go to a CS2, you're not going to hear Summit 7 talking about Summit 7 and how awesome we are. That's not how it works. We're going to provide the right information to you. And then if you want to have a conversation afterwards, that's fine. But like, we bring in partner and competing companies to talk about their services so that people get the right information. And so that's a huge focus for us next year, is making sure we get the right information out. And
so is this a quarterly thing? You said 4 times. So I'm guessing like a quarterly event.
We're going to do 2 to 3 next year.
Okay.
So
do you have it already planned out after, do you have a thing planned out after Huntsville in March?
We do. I can't quite reveal the location yet.
I was going to volunteer here and we'd help you. And I'm also on the FCA board here. We host a Coffee in the Cloud quarterly event where we bring in cloud providers. Okay. We've had AWS, Microsoft. We had OneWeb last quarter, come in and talk about how cloud services can support small government contractors, but that would be a nice tie-in with you guys. So if you want to do one out in Colorado Springs, would gladly kind of co-host that with you, and I'll work with the cyber community here. We're pretty tight. We started a kind of a collaborative with all the government organizations, the universities, the professional organizations and companies out here that are doing cyber. We meet on a monthly basis. Matter of fact, it's tonight, to talk about kind of what, so we were stepping over each other with regards to events and meetings, stuff like that. So we now have a monthly meeting where we talk about what everybody's doing. But if you guys want to do something, and you know, I'm sure we can kind of throw that out there and see who else bites and do something collaboratively and co-host it and get the word out. Awesome. I'll offer that to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, okay. Cool. Well, Sam, this was great. And we will put people to summit7.us. And if you want to talk to Sam some more, we'll put contact information in the posting.
Yeah.
So folks can get a hold of you guys. And Sam, this has been really great. And are you going to be at a conference coming up here anytime soon that we can, are you coming to the Cyber Symposium in February in Colorado Springs?
So that I don't know about. I think our individual in Colorado Springs might be going to that event next week.
Okay.
So I need to talk to him, and you guys can link up with, his name's Dan. But I was going to say there is a Cyber AB Summit. So the accreditation body, like giving out the certifications for CMMC, they're hosting a summit in DC next week and we're speaking, but it's virtual. So like, if you guys want to put that out to your audience, I feel like especially small contractors are really going to get a lot of benefit from that event. Cause it's, you've got, OUSD leadership, you've got the accreditation body speaking on CMMC, and I can get you a link to that, but we're going to be presenting at that. That's next week in DC.
Okay.
And then really the last relevant one for us is going to be CS2 Huntsville. you know Jacob. So Dennis, you know Jacob Horn. You guys have kind of talked with him.
Yes.
He's literally all over the place. He's speaking at like 10 different things. And then we have Joy Bayland, who is also a SME on our team. They're traveling like, I don't know, 10 times through the next quarter. So if I say maybe, there's a good shot one of them is going to be speaking at one of those events.
Okay.
So yeah. And I didn't mention this, but people can find out about this, the CS2 conference series at cs2.cloud. So that's our URL, cs2.cloud. And that's separate from Summit 7, but our logo's on it.
All right,
so, but yeah, that Cyber AB event I think is going to be the most relevant. And we're actually giving away five CMMC level one projects tomorrow to women owned small businesses as part of Cybersecurity Awareness Month from October. So literally tomorrow on social media, we're announcing five projects that we're giving away to small women owned small businesses. And so I think that'd be relevant to your audience as well.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Well, Sam, this was great. I really appreciate your time. And, you know, Nate and I at the break, we're talking, we got to talk to him some more. So we'll be in touch with you and see if we can't do a little more collaboration and do some other things too.
Well, I think I'm going to pass. I may make some introductions to you guys as well. For other Summit 7 companies, I think you guys need to have the conversation. Just say, hey, you know, look, we might be get to the point, especially if it does kick off. Now, that's always the big thing we've been talking about nonstop.
It doesn't matter if it does or does not.
Well, no,
because NIST is out there now.
I get that. But what's going to push people to make sure that they get CMMC certified?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm still of the belief that it's going to require...
naysayer.
It's going to require an incident, unfortunately.
No, we have them all the time. We have them all the time, every day. Well, every day somebody gets hacked. Anyways, all right, okay. Sam.
Why aren't 300,000 small businesses under contract to get CMMC certified?
Because it's not important yet.
That's my point. What makes it important?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Either a direction from the government, which they have not done yet.
Yeah, that's going
to
make that.
They need to blank or get off the pot and just say, this is the date. After June 1st of 2023, if you're not certified, you're no longer eligible.
Yeah, that'll do it.
To work on government contracts.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go, CMMC gods.
There you go. X done.
There it is.
Okay, Sam, we appreciate you coming on today, and we'll definitely be in touch with you. We'll send out the information. As soon as you get us the links, we'll put it all in the show notes. Anything else?
Nope. Parting thanks, words of wisdom? Thanks, Sam. Summit7.us. Thank you very much.
You got it. Appreciate you guys.
No problem. And this is Just Nate signing off.
Thanks for listening.
You've reached the end of another episode of the SmallsCast podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you at the next episode. See you at the next episode.